So this is the Cage Warriors 105 prediction show. This is Katie Hunter. I'm here with Lewis Smith.
Hey, everyone.
Very hungover after a massive stag do this weekend. So thank you very much for filling out all the stops to be here.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me, Katie.
Chris Emmanuel.
Hi, Katie. You're right.
Hi. And special guest, Mark Heath.
Hiya. Hi, everyone.
Thank you for doing this, Mark.
No problem.
So let's dive straight in. I wanted to come to some news hot off the press and talk about Jack Shaw signing for the UFC. I saw Richard Shaw's post and we've all been talking about it amongst ourselves. Lewis, what do you make of it?
To be honest, I'm over the moon. I think no one deserves it more than Jack. He's proved his worth in Cage Warriors now. That last fight against Scott Malone was as far as he could go with the promotion, I feel.
Yeah.
And clearly just beating the best two guys other than himself. So for me now, this is perfect time for him to move on and show what he's made of on a world stage. So couldn't have happened to a nicer person, a more hardworking person as well. And just hope now that everyone in Wales gets behind him and we can see another UFC fighter doing well from Wales and the UK.
Yeah. Are there any more European cards lined up before the end of the year?
Sweden's the only one I can think of off the top of my head at the moment. And they were toying with the idea of one in Copenhagen, but I don't think anything's been sort of announced that I'm aware of. I might be wrong on that.
Yeah. Oh, it'd be good to see where that fight's going to be.
What I was going to say is Jack Marshman is going to be fighting on International Fight Week, John Jones and the Brazilian guy. I can't think of his name off the top of my head.
Santos.
That's the one, yeah. They're teammates. I mean, it might be great to see Jack make an appearance on International Fight Week. I don't know if that's pushing it a bit too far for his first one, but
it would be
great, wouldn't it, to see him on one of those. I don't know what the plans are, but usually they have like a fight midweek or a fight on the Friday and a fight on the Saturday sometimes. So it'd be great if he was to be involved in that. Maybe I'm just being a bit optimistic, but yeah, that would be the perfect way to start his UFC career, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
Flight out to Vegas if it's fight week.
If do you know what, if he's on that card, I will be booking the first flight out there. Honestly, I'm that big of a Jack Shaw fan. If it happens, I'm going to go straight away, I think.
Oh, I might book a flight with you, yeah. Lewis. Anyway, we're talking about Cage Warriors 105 tonight. That's the card in Colchester this Friday, headlined by Sean Carter and Tim Barnett. Let's talk about the main fight first. Mark, coming to you, you know these guys well.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. It's a great main event. I was speaking to Sean earlier today. He's very excited. He says, as a fighter, obviously, the two big things you want are to fight somewhere like Vegas, like, or in New York, you know, one of the fight capitals, and also the headline event in your hometown. And he said to me, he never thought that would ever happen in Colchester. He assumed that with it being so close to London, it would be London cards, if anything, he'd get on. But now to have Cage Warriors in his hometown, he's absolutely buzzing, as they say. And it's a good fight, man. I think it's going to be a really good fight. I mean, Tim Barnett, obviously, is a really good striker, dynamic guy to watch. And Sean, obviously, gets most of his wins on the floor. I think 9 of his 12 wins have come by submission.
Yeah.
But sure, I asked Sean today, like, is it that simple? Is it like just a good striker against a guy like yourself who gets a lot of subs? Is it going to be where the fight plays out determines who wins? And he says, it's not 1996. It's not the first UFCs. You know, everyone's confident everywhere. He says, I'm more than confident on my feet. And he's sure that Tim will be confident on the ground. So I can't see that failing to be a good fight. I mean, Sean is as tough as they come.
Yeah.
I think Jack Mason told me once he'll take two to land one. And that's kind of his striking style. He's always in good fights. And Tim Barnett, is a very good striker. So I can see that being a very, very good fight and a perfect main event for the second and kind of bigger Cage Warriors card in Colchester. It's fantastic.
I really felt for him that he was injured, or I think he'd just had surgery, like when at the last Cage Warriors in Colchester. So awesome for him to be on the card. I can't see this fight being anything other than fireworks.
Yeah,
like I say, neither of them care about taking damage. They're both always looking to finish a fight. Chris,
yeah.
I'm sure you're going to pick against me unless I make it the first one of the night.
So, 100% yes, I'm going to go with Tim Barnett, but there's method to the madness. Okay, so Tim, even though Tim Dreckel's only 6-2-1, he is actually highly experienced. He's a former Bama world title holder. And, you know, talking about sexy girls' skill on the ground, Tim's actually a really good defensive grappler. I remember watching him win his title against Mario Saeed. There's no slouch on the ground whatsoever. Mario's got some legit skills on the ground. And there's nothing that he could do to Tim whatsoever. Tim's just confident wherever the fight goes. The one thing which I think could play into Sean Carr's hands, though, is that it depends on the Tim Barnett you get on the night. There have been a couple of times where you've seen Tim just not firing at 100%. And that's nothing to say, nothing negative about his mindset at all. The guy's ridiculously strong mentally, but sometimes it just doesn't seem to work for him. You saw that in the fight against the Hall. You saw that in the rubber match against Reese McKee, where he lost his Bama title. And it just doesn't seem to get out of second or third gear. Now, if that happens, then, you know, if you've got someone as tough as Sean Carter coming in, then it could be a difficult night for Barnett. But, you know, back at lightweight, where Barnett's at his best, against somebody who's not fought for 2 years, I think I'm 100% behind Tim Barnett. And I really liked him. He's just such a nice guy. I don't know Sean other than what I see online. He comes across as a good guy, but Tim, I know, and I really like the fella, and I just want to see him do well. So, yeah, picking against you for the first time tonight.
Lewis, what are your thoughts on the fight?
I got to go with Chris on this one, Katie. Sorry, I've got a feeling for
him. I'm glad you're on here, Mark.
No, I think what both guys have said is pretty accurate. You know, you've got a great striker. And the thing is, both guys are comfortable in both areas. But for me, I just think Tim's been a little bit more active. And I do think in MMA that plays a big factor. You know, you're going through camp, you're in that sort of mentality of going for a fight. Having that sort of activity is going to play in his sort of... It's going to be positive for him. And like Chris said, I think if he comes in firing on all cylinders, he's going to be the one who's going to be landing the better shots. And to be honest, I hate saying it, but I think he might actually get a stoppage in this one. I just think that the last time Carter fought was 2017, I believe.
Yeah.
2 years, you know, it's a tough fight back after 2 years without fighting against Tim Barnett, especially, you know, back at lightweight. So for me, I'm going for Tim. I am expecting fireworks, and I am expecting a really entertaining fight, because it's Tim Barnett. He always puts on a show, and so does Sean. So I'm expecting a good fight, but for me, I'm very sorry, Katie and Mark, I'm going for Tim in this one.
Can I ask you boys, obviously you know Tim much better than I do, but how do you think he'll feel about being in the other guy's hometown? There's going to be a lot of very vocal support going against him. Everyone in there is going to want Sean to win. I mean, he's very, very popular in Colchester. He'll have loads of fans there. Do you think that will phase Tim in any way?
Not in the slightest. He's got one of the strongest mentalities in MMA, that guy. He just doesn't have monkeys whatsoever. If anything, he'll thrive on it. It won't make him more aggressive. He'll just focus more. He's got no problem whatsoever with that type of issue.
But I think as well, it works both ways, doesn't it? Because with that, it could be that it affects Tim, and Tim just, like Chris says, comes out and he has another one of those nights where he doesn't get out of second gear, and, you know, Sean might put him away. He's very, very capable of that. Or it could be that the pressure comes on Sean and he doesn't get out of second or third gear. It's one of those things you just never know, like, kind of what goes through people's heads when they get into that cage, when the pressure's on. It can go either way. But I suppose that's what's so interesting about fighting, is that you never know. You never know what you're going to get on the night. So, yeah. I'm really looking forward to this main event. And I don't know what you guys think, but I think it's a better main event than what Colchester has had before. I think it's a very exciting fight. I can't remember what the last main event for you guys was.
James Webb was the last one. That was awesome as well.
Apologies to James Webb. That was actually a good fight. I can remember.
That was a late replacement, though, if you remember. That was meant to be the Grayson title fight, wasn't it, which fell off. So
yeah.
Can I ask you guys a question? As you know, Sean Carter well. Where did the name Sexy Curls come from?
Go on, Katie.
I don't know. I imagine it's in the gym, or it could be his beard. I'm not sure.
It's got to be the hair, isn't it? Surely.
Chris, I didn't ask you how you thought the fight would end. Is it going to be a decision or a stoppage?
Round two, Tim Barnett KO.
Wow. Mark?
I can see what the other guys are saying on the point that Lewis made about Sean not fighting for 2 years. I asked him about that again today, and he said, you know, it's not like I've been sitting on the couch doing nothing. I've been training. He says, I haven't missed a day of training for 2 years, so I've been getting better. I don't know. I think I get the feeling speaking to him, it means so much to him to be the main event in his hometown. I think Barnett's going to have to be inspired to beat him. I've just got a feeling it's going to be an absolute war. And in a war, Sean Carter is the man you want to back. So I can see him taking some crazy fight on decision. Maybe even, you know, a couple of times he'll get rocked. He'll rock Barnett. It'll be back and forth, blood and guts, all that sort of stuff. And I think Sean will take a decision, which will bring the house down.
I'm literally so excited. It was like I could see that in front of me.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for third round stoppage to Sean. Like you said, he has been out for a couple of years and he's, you know, it will be hard, but I don't think he's the type to be faced by pressure of fighting in front of the home crowd or even worry about ring rust. I think he just thrives on fighting and he's just going to be so buzzing to get back in there. I just think he's going to be too much. So that is... my pick for the main event, shocking to you all, I'm sure.
He said to me today, you know, you said about not being phased. He said he might even corner some of the amateurs beforehand. So he's, you know, he says, I don't worry about anything until I get in there. So he says, if I want to corner the amateurs, I'll do that. If I want to watch the other guys, obviously there's 7 BKK fighters on the card. If I want to watch them fight, I'll do that if I feel like it. He says, I'm not worried until I get in there. And then whatever happens, happens. So I can't see him being phased.
No, me either. So moving on to the co-main, Alexander Jakobsen against Donovan Desmay. We obviously saw Donovan recently. Lewis, do you want to talk about that? You were there in person for his last fight.
Yeah, this is another good matchup, another war potentially, because both guys are heavy, heavy hitters. I'm going to tend to go back to the activity. I know Jakobsen isn't me too active in MMA. I actually spoke with him when I went to Copenhagen for Cage Warriors, and he was saying that he'd been boxing a lot. He's been focusing a lot of times. He's had, I think, 2 pro boxing matches. But for me, if you're not training MMA to compete in MMA and you're doing something full-time on another sport, then you're not getting better at MMA. And I just feel like Donovan Desmay, although he's lost to Mason Jones in his last fight, he went 3 full rounds. Yeah. I think he's already fought 3 times in 2019, so... Again, he's very active. He's kind of in that mode of training, fighting. So for that reason, just purely based on that, I feel like Donovan's going to get a decision win. Mason Jones is a really big up-and-coming fighter. I think he's potentially going to get a title fight next. Whoever wins this next match, I think he could face the winner of that. So losing to him isn't any kind of shame in that. And I think Desmay will be really kind of switched on from having spent that 3 rounds in there, because... Although Desmay did get well beaten in that fight, he never really looked like being stopped. You know, he had some exchanges where he did good in, and I think that'll be good for him. So for me, I think it's going to be a 3-round decision to Donovan Desmay. But as I said, like we said, he has been training a lot of boxing. I think he fought for a title as well in Cage Warriors against Fish Gold. So
yeah,
a lot of experience. You wouldn't want to write him off, but for me, I just think Desmay gets it done. I think he grinds it out and scrapes through.
Chris?
The thing with Donovan Desmay is you've got to work out how much damage he's taken over this year. Because that Mason Jones fight, even though he didn't look like he was going to be stopped, he did take a bit of a pasting, really. But then on the flip side of that, you've got Alexander Jakobsen, who's lost his last 2. You know, he got roundly beaten by Perry Godwin, but then he also got beaten by Soren Bak as well. So... from a confidence perspective, I don't know how he's going to feel coming into this fight. If Desmay hasn't been too... It gets to the point where someone can take too many shots, you know, and if Desmay hasn't taken too many shots, I would expect him to probably stop Jakobsen. I'd probably go for a second round stoppage, TKO, punches maybe, because he is just an absolute machine. But I think probably the most telling thing will be the amount of time it takes for the guys... in Colchester to mop up all the blood afterwards, because I think that this is going to be probably the most bloody bout on the entire card, because these 2 guys are just going to stand in the middle and just beat the shit out of each other, aren't they? It's going to be a cracker to watch.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Mark,
so
can I
go for the second round
Mark question? What's your thoughts? You know, I've shared about this a couple of times. What's your thoughts on guys sort of taking a, not, I don't want to say necessarily a warm-up fight, but, you know, you're talking about the last two fighters who've had a lot of time off, come back in and fighting guys at the top of the food chain in the European scene. What's your thoughts on guys taking that amount of time off and then coming straight back into it? Would you ever kind of, I don't know, is there any sort of way to get him back into it in terms of a lower fight or a lower ranked opponent, or is it just a case of biting the bullet and getting in there?
I think it depends entirely on the fighter, doesn't it? I mean, you have to know, and that's where the coaches come in. You have to know your fighter and what kind of motivates them and how they perform. I think with Sean, like we talked about having the time off, you know, he's 34 years old. I don't think he could probably afford to take a warm-up fight. You know, he's got to come back straight in. And I don't think that will affect him. I think it entirely depends on the fight, if I'm honest. How long they've been away for, why they've been away, have they been injured? Has it been just inactivity as a result of, you know, not being able to get fights or fights falling through? I think you have to take all that into consideration and judge it on a fighter-by-fighter basis. But I think with Sean, as we've already said, I don't think it'll affect him. Talking about the co-main, it was originally Bousseif, wasn't it, fighting Jacobson? That fell through for, again, injury, I think. So yeah. I don't know, how long has Donovan been in knowing he's going to fight Alexander for? Has that been a relatively recent thing? Or has he had much preparation, is what I'm saying?
Well, it must be, because he only just fought... When was that fight, Lewis?
April against...
Hard as Corey. Yeah, the 27th of April. So, yeah, not too long.
Okay. I'm surprised Safe MMA have been okay with that, then. Because that's quite soon. And certainly for someone who's taken the amount of damage that he took in that Mason Jones fight.
Mm. Yeah, because Corey obviously finished her fight in the second round without taking any...
Yeah, she didn't. Or she did nothing. Hanny barely touched her, did she?
Yeah.
That's interesting, then. You wonder how much that's going to affect Donovan, then, if he's coming out of a really tough fight against a really tough opponent, and he's coming straight to another big fight against a guy, like you say, has a lot of power. I think it was Chris who said, you know, maybe the key is how much damage he's already taken, how much more he can take coming into the fight. Because he's certainly going to be tested in the fight, isn't he? You can't see it being an easy fight for him. Intriguing. Like I say, I think pretty much every single fight on this main card could be an absolute corker.
Yeah. Like you said, though, Lewis, what with him having those boxing fights as well, losing three of his last four, to me, I just wonder if Jacobson's head is really in the game or heart is in the game. That's the only thing that's saying to me that, you know, otherwise everything we've laid out in black and white probably says it's too soon for Donovan and it should go to Jacobson. But I don't know. I'm still feeling Donovan, I think.
I think it'll depend how the fight starts. If Jacobson can land a big shot early and kind of get Donovan thinking, Christ, I'm going to be in another war here. Maybe that'll be kind of the key to his victory. I don't know, man. I mean, I've always liked watching Jacobson fight. He's always entertaining fights. He's got big power. So I'm assuming you've got two of you going for Donovan, have you? So I might just go with Alexander just to just for giggles.
were you Donovan as well, Chris?
Yeah.
Three against one, and me and Chris agree for once.
Yeah.
Oh shit! Can I change my
thing as well? If you're Donovan Desme, you know you've got everyone coming into this fight expecting it to be a war. Everyone saying how much of kind of a bloodbath it's going to be. Are you just tempted to think, well, this guy's been away boxing, am I just going to come, you know, shoot for takedowns, press him up against the cage, and try and grind him up that way and really test how much he's been training jiu-jitsu and wrestling over the last couple of years? Because that's where I would think, you know, if you're a good coach, you're going to be saying, you know, go test him in that area. So if that happens, it could be a completely different fight than everyone's expecting, I think.
Mm.
I feel like I could talk myself in and out of both of them all night long. So moving on to Aidan Stephen versus Steve Amable, another BKK fighter there. What's everyone's thoughts? Chris, I know you can't wait to tell me how Steve's going to lose.
No. Look, I love Aidan Stephen. I've always picked for Aidan Stephen. That guy, to be fair to both of you, this is the a fight of two wins. This is a fight which involves fighters on good win streaks. You've got Amy Bullis on a 3-fight win streak.
Yeah.
And you've got Stevens on a 5-fight win streak. So they are both two super, super talented guys.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I've tried to have a degree of consistency through my picks. And I've always picked for Aidan Stephen, and I really think that Aidan Stephen is probably the best fighter to come out of Scotland at the moment. Okay, you've got Ross Houston, who is sitting at the top of the chain, who's the current world champion. But I think that Aidan Stephen is just one of those sleepers. He's one of those guys that's just so, so underrated. And I think that I can't see anything stopping him currently on the European scene. And that's no disservice to Aimable. I think Aimable's an incredibly talented guy. But Stephen, if Stephen gets hold of you, I think it's just game over. You know, he's so, so talented on the ground. It doesn't matter if he's on his back, doesn't matter if he's in the dominant position. And I don't think you can catch him on his feet either. He's just so good. And I can see Mark smiling away. And obviously, you know Steve inside out. But I'll be honest, I'm just a proper Aidan Stephen fanboy. So I'm gonna have to choose against the BK gay guy again.
Mark, let's come to you.
I'm gonna go out on a limb here, and I'm gonna say I reckon we're gonna see two future champions on this card. One of them is fairly obvious in Corey McKenna. I don't think anyone doubts that she's gonna have gold before too long. And I'm gonna say Steve Aimable could well be a future featherweight champion. And that's based on basically because the guy can't be killed by conventional weapons. You ask him yourself, and he'll say, "I'm a grinder." He doesn't win a lot of fights by stoppage. Obviously, he had that 15 second KO up at lightweight a couple of fights ago.
Yeah.
But the guy just does not stop coming. He's a monster. And when you're fighting someone like that, it's demoralising, man. So, like Aidan Stephen, like you say, he might be lighting him up, but Aimable's not going to go anywhere. And even if he's in a bad position on the ground, he's not going to stop fighting. The guy has no quit in him whatsoever. And I think, as you say, it's a matchup between two guys on win streaks. Steve won three in a row. Aiden's won five, hasn't he, I think. So I can see this potentially being like an eliminator fight for whoever wins that fight between Mads and Dean at the Night of Champions. And I tell you, man, I think Steve Aimable's a really bad matchup for Dean Truman, because he is like another Dean Truman. He's like a relentless killing machine who doesn't take a backward step. And that, for me, is the toughest matchup for Dean Truman. We saw him struggle with, well, not struggle with, but certainly have his hands full with Corin Eaton, who is a very similar sort of fighter to Steve Aimable. He's actually beaten Steve earlier in their career. And speaking to Corin about Steve at the time, he said he was just a monster. He just did not stop coming. And I think Dean Truman is so tough that you're putting him with a guy like an Aidan Lee, who, you know, people thought would maybe sort of piece him up and take him apart. But you just can't hurt him. The guy is so tough. But if you put him against someone like him, who's sort of butting heads constantly with him and isn't going anywhere, then it just ends up being this kind of war of attrition. Yeah. And in a war of attrition, you know, I can't pick against Steve. So for everything you say about Aidan, and I agree, he's very, very talented, but he's fighting a guy, again, in his hometown. He's about to become a dad. That's going to motivate him. He's,
the Donald Cerrone, like, extra vibe.
Exactly. He just changed his job. Before, he was travelling all over the country. And he was only really training, like, twice a week, which is crazy, if you think about it. A guy training twice a week and being on this sort of level. So I think now he's able to train much more consistently. He's super, super fit. I don't know if you've seen some of the stuff he puts on his running. He's running like 6.5 minute miles, which is crazy. That's super fit, man. So I think Steve grinds this out. And again, I can see this being another bit of a rock 'em sock 'em fight. I can see Steve being in some bad positions. But ultimately, as I say, you just cannot kill the guy's fighting heart. And I think he just plows on and gets the job done, probably by decision. But yeah.
Mark, I don't know if you've noticed a change in Steve's confidence since his last loss against Paul McBain.
Yeah.
He just instantly knew what he'd done wrong in that fight. He was desperate to get straight back in, and obviously at lightweight stepped in late notice and got that 15-second finish.
Yeah.
But just since then, he seems to have, and he's the most humble of people. There's not one bit of big-headedness about him, but he's just so confident that this is what he's going to go in and do.
Yeah.
I just feel like he's got the mindset to match. And he always says as well, like, other people are killers in the gym and he's not that great in the gym. But yeah. When it comes to fight night, he just brings it.
Yeah. That's it. And I do think the fact he's about to become a dad may be a big kind of motivating factor for him. He knows this is the last fight before he becomes a dad. It's in his kind of hometown. I know he's from Harlow. That's just down the road. But yeah, I think he's going to be super fired up. And I just think, in typical Steve Angle style, he will walk through anything that's thrown at him and find a way to get the win. Might not be pretty. And again, they might have to call in the old blood mopper uppers. But I can't pick against him.
Lewis?
Oh, do you know what? This fight really excites me. I think it is the most exciting fight on the whole card. And for the reason you guys have just said, I think whoever wins this will get the next shot of the title. You've got two guys who really are on great streaks, really, really looking good. I've got this, when it comes to Aiden, I've got this same kind of vibes as I do with Jack Shaw. You talk to the Scottish guys and everyone's saying very, very good things about him. I watched the fight before last in Cardiff where he just completely manhandled Chris Edwards and looked amazing. Big for the weight. Takes the centre of the cage and he's just very, very good. Mm. But then on the other hand, you've got Steve who, like you've just said, he's a battler. In the form of his life, I would say, the last loss he had was against McFain and one hell of a war that was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Fight for that one. I really don't know who I'm going to pick for this one. I think I'll go for Steve just because I've met him a few times. I've met him. It's a 50-50 fight, honestly, because, you know, Aiden, I watched his last fight as well, Aiden, and it was against Kingsley Crawford, who I watched him fight a few more times in Bama, and he looked amazing. And then to see the way kind of Aiden dealt with him, that made me think, okay, yeah, this kid is really, really good. But yeah. At the same time, you know, Steve is looking better every time as well. So it's a 50-50 fight to me at this point. I don't know how the styles are going to match up. I'm interested to see it. But I think just on the basis of meeting Steve, having spoken to him after his last couple of fights and, you know, kind of seeing how motivated he looked. I met him briefly after the McBain fight and he seemed a little bit disappointed. But after that, he's really seemed, like you said, a lot more focused. So for that reason, it's very close. I wouldn't want to bet any money on it. But I'm going to go for Steve on this one.
I think something that Mark said is quite poignant as well, because he said about the hometown advantage. Whilst I don't think that will have a huge effect in the main event, that could potentially have a big effect here, because Aiden's his own biggest critic. And even going back to the Chris Edwards fight, Aiden was really pissed off with himself at his performance. He didn't think it was good enough, yet he looked really good. And he does beat himself up a little bit. Now, if he can get around that mindset and he can deal with that, then, you know, I'm really confident in my prediction. But if he can't, and he's up against someone who just is constantly at him and at him and at him, it could be a difficult night. But, you know, I'm still changed my mind.
The thing is, I think Steve is, at featherweight, Steve is better than the both guys Aiden's fought previously.
Yeah.
So that's where, you know, you've got this kind of trajectory of both guys coming out and meeting better opponents, which is what we want to see. Chris has looked brilliant in his last fight, but for me, Chris Edwards is still a bantamweight. You know, Aiden had quite a sizable size difference there. I think Steve's a little bit thicker than Chris, isn't he? He's a little bit stockier, got a little bit more power about him. So I think all around, this is going to be both guys will be facing the best guy they've fought. So it's going to be a really interesting matchup. This is the one I'm most looking forward to on the card, I've got to say that.
Well, you can't change. You're Team Steve now.
No, I go for Steve. Like I said, I'm not confident because both guys are really, really close, evenly matched. But just in terms of the hometown advantage, you know, Steve, like I said, having that motivation with his kid coming on the way, I'm going to go with Steve for this one.
By decision? I'm going with decision.
Yeah, decision, yeah.
Grinder, I think it's going to be a bit of a grinder. I can see it being some fireworks, like you said, on the kind of, there's going to be clinching. On the break, then they're going to be hitting each other. A lot of scrambles. And yeah, I'm looking forward to this one, I got to say.
Chris, stop at your decision.
Let's just go balls deep. Let's say round one, Aiden Stephens submission. Something crazy like a go-go plasma.
No! You can't stop me.
I got a bite.
This next fight, Chris, I'm hoping to pick your brain about, because I don't know either of these guys super well. And in fact, I probably need a lot of help with Alex Montagnani. That'll do. I was close enough. Versus Mick Stanton. So the one thing that I was picking out of this is that some of the guys that Alex has fought have had fairly spicy records. The loss that he's had recently is to Thundercat in a triangle. I think I was there for that one, and I kind of remember thinking I could see that triangle being set up, and I was expecting him to defend it more. So what are your thoughts on him?
Okay. Nope. I was involved with a clothing company. He was one of the guys that we sponsored.
Right.
Then when I co-promoted a show, we actually had him as a co-main event. And he picked up a really serious injury in that and was out for a couple of years as a result of it. Alex is deceptively tough. He's one of those guys that you look at and you think, oh, he's an actor. You know, he pops in and out of MMA. He likes the lifestyle more than the fighting. Nonsense. Absolute nonsense. He's mean. You know, that's his nickname. Mean Montagnani. And he is absolutely ruthless. If he gets the opportunity, I think it's actually up in Colchester a couple of years back. He had his comeback fight. And if he gets the opportunity, he smells blood. He just literally goes for it. The one thing that lets Alex down is the opportunity. It's the diversity of what he does. So he has got the acting career. He does a lot on the radio as well. And if he gets too involved in that, sometimes it takes him away from some of his training. Now, he loves striking, and he doesn't. Sometimes he doesn't spend as much time with his jiu-jitsu coach, Aidan Madden, as he should. When he has spent time with Aidan, he is phenomenal on the ground. You know, he's got the skill set. He's got the intelligence as well. But if he hasn't been with Aidan during a fight camp, you can see that rust, and he allows himself to get submitted in ways that really you shouldn't do, which is a frustration for him as well. But in terms of this fight, Mick Stanton is a grinder. He's one of those. He's a Liverpudlian guy, very, very tough. He comes in and he'll stand there and he'll trade with you. I don't think he's got the skill set to be able to damage Alex in the way that Alex could be damaged. If Mick wants to stand with Alex will just pick him apart. And Alex is also much better at middleweight as well. He fought quite a few times at welterweight, but he's a big guy. He's about 6'2", and he's quite built as well. So to actually fight a more suitable weight for him against the guy who stylistically should match up well with him, I think we could see Alex light up Mick and put him away in quite a violent fashion.
Mark?
Obviously, that was a fairly impassioned backing of Alex there. I enjoyed it. That I was going to ask you, though, because I read some quotes actually from Alex today saying that this is a one-time deal at middleweight. And he doesn't see himself staying at middleweight. So it's literally one fight and he's going back down to welterweight. So for me, as someone who doesn't know him that well, that sound alarm bells. But you say he's fought at middleweight quite a few times, yeah?
He's fought at middleweight before. He's fought a couple of times at middleweight. And I think he looks better at middleweight.
I guess.
Have a word with him.
That's up to his management at Alpha Talent Management. You know, Danny and Martin, they look after him well. He's just moved across to them recently. I think that's a good move for him actually. He's trained with the guys for a number of years. They look after people like Jay Shepherd. They've got a good, strong team ethic, and I hope that certainly Danny has a strong word with him and just says to him, look, you know, fight at a weight where you feel comfortable rather than just trying to give yourself that advantage. Because whilst you may get the size advantage, you don't necessarily get the rehydration advantage. You don't necessarily perform as well at the lighter weight if you're draining yourself. And no one's getting any younger. And I think Alex is knocking on for 30 now, if he's not 30 already. And you know, I'm saying this is a 41-year-old man, so he's still a kid to me. In terms of, in a sporting way, at that age, your body doesn't start to react so well to the weight cut. So I would hope that he has a very, very strong performance and he feels very comfortable and he decides to continue at middleweight where he can show his dynamism and potentially make a run for for a title again.
Very persuasive, but based entirely on some quotes that I read, and because I'm ignorant and stubborn, I'm going Mick by knockout.
That means I'm picking against your boys tonight.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Mick fought for the title, didn't he? And he was kind of outclassed in that. But anyone called the Heighton Hammer, his nickname?
Yeah,
he's all right by me. He must have a right hand. So I'm saying he knocks out the natural welterweight within the first round.
Lewis.
It's another tough one. I'm going to agree with Chris again and go with Alex for this one. I think he's got more experience in there. I think he is slightly more well-rounded. And if he turns up, I do think he gets it done. But, like you said, you know what? Mick is bound to have a right hand, isn't he? So, you don't know if Alex doesn't show up, and if he does come in on one of those nights, he could be in for a short night. But, yeah, for me, for this one, I'm going to go with a more experienced guy. And I'm going to go pick Alex for the win. But, yeah, I'm not confident for any of these fights like I have been in the past. Like, usually I'm pretty confident with my picks. But for this card, I'm not confident with really any of them. But I'll agree with Chris on this one and go with Alex.
Well, I'm going to agree with Chris as well, purely because I think what you said is true, that this is quite a good stylistic matchup for him. I do think that he could be in trouble with quite a lot of other people in the division, but I think maybe somebody with a bigger jiu-jitsu background is going to cause him more problems. So I'm going to go with Alex, and I reckon by stoppage as well. Those middleweights, you've only got to clip someone and they go down.
Was Alex's last fight against Craig White, by the way, or has he had a fight in between?
No, he's fought since then. That was his last loss. But the last guy he beat was Shah Hussein at MTK. His record's 11 and 12. Right. And that guy's fought on Rock, where John Maguire beat him with a heel hook. So I've seen him before. He's a tough guy. It's just, I haven't seen him against the toughest opponents to kind of make a call on that.
I mean, I did watch that fight against Craig White. I was at the show at Cage Wars up in the O2, and Craig is a really, really good fighter. He obviously fought in the UFC, was going to fight for a Cage Wars title before he went, and that fight, Craig just seemed to completely smother him, took him, wrestled him, took him down, pulled guard, got him in a triangle choke, and just seemed physically stronger.
Yeah.
So again, I mean, I don't know if Mick can kind of get in close, put the pressure on him and make him work from that position. He could get some success there, I feel. But, for me, I would think if Alex has been working, I do feel he's got a more well-rounded skill set. So if he's switched on and he's been putting the work in, I would expect him to get it done.
Yeah. Cool. Moving on, this is another one who I'm going to butcher her name. I do apologise. Not Corey. I've got Corey McKenna down. I'm going to call her Guila Chinello. I've no idea if that's how you say it or not.
You're telling.
It looks like Julia to me.
I think it's Julia, yeah.
Oh, Julia then.
Yeah, Julie. Jules.
Well, I'm just going to call her Chinello going forward. So, obviously, my pick for this fight is Corey. Very difficult for me, quite often in Corey's fights, to get a lot of background on her opponents. They quite often have to scour the lengths of Europe to try and find her opponents. And obviously, this one's been at short notice because she only fought a month ago. I actually think that Corey can beat anyone in the UK and Europe. And I just think her skill set's too strong. I really love the fact that she goes out to Team Alpha Male and gets all this special attention out there, because I think she's got the kind of wrestling pedigree that usually you only associate with Americans who've been doing it all through high school. And I think that's because she still is really young and while she's learning to do it. I think she looks super impressive in every fight, and I think she's got just a maturity beyond her years. And the only loss on her record, I didn't think was a loss. So Chris, I defy you to pick against
no one. No one can pick against her, surely. No one's going to pick against Corey here, surely.
Hey. Right. So I've been doing a bit of research on Julia Chinello, and so she's a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt. She spent some time out with Faraz Sahabi up in Canada as well. I think she's going to be a bit of a sleeper. And I also think that everything I say is an absolute lie. I've got no idea who she is. Never even seen her before. I'm betting 100% on Corey McKen.
I should have found that out on my research. I've done a terrible job of this.
Now I'm going to go by Corey McKenna first round murder. I think we're pretty safe in that.
Mark?
Yeah, I think Corey's a real special athlete. She is one of the true new breed of MMA fighters who, you know, literally just comes up training in every aspect. You talk about going out to Team Alpha Male, but she travels the length and breadth of this country as well. She's been training with Damien Trainer, the excellent Muay Thai fighter. She's been training at Bad Company with the guys up there, you know, like Liam Harrison. She went up there with Molly McCann. She is relentless in terms of adding to her skills. And she's so, so intelligent as well. She's got a real kind of analytical mind, and she approaches it like a scholar almost. She adds all these kind of weapons to her arsenal and then picks which ones she's going to unveil and when. She's an absolute nightmare to match, as I understand, because everyone knows how good she is. And also, something happens to her when she... Because she's so... Well, you know better than I do, Katie. She's so nice.
She's so sweet.
And sweet and friendly and super interesting to talk to. But when you shut that cage door behind her, she turns. She turns into a psychopath. Like a kind of...
Those short elbows.
Yeah, yeah. And it's kind of like The Exorcist, you know. She turns that time that she's in there, and I honestly can't see it being long before she's wearing Cage Warriors gold. And not only that, you say that she could beat pretty much anyone in the UK, and that she could beat girls in the UFC now, I'm convinced of it. And she thinks she could as well. I mean, she's still only 19. I've been writing stories about her since she was 16. Literally the sky's the limit for Corey. She's got everything you want. She's a really good talker as well. She gives great quotes. Super, super talented and really nice. And I wouldn't want to be Julia Chinello. This is the one fight I can't see getting out the first round. I think Corey, like you say, Corey by annihilation in the first round.
I'm going to say second round, just because sometimes Corey takes a while to decide how she's going to win a fight.
Yeah.
Lewis?
I'm going to pick Corey McKenna, obviously. For all the reasons you guys just said, you know, she's great, everything going for her. She's super driven, super intelligent. I interviewed her I wrote an article on her a while back. She said that if she wasn't fighting, she'd be studying. She'd be in university. So she's clearly very, very intelligent. And this is kind of the path she's got her mindset on. It's parallel, really. You could be working for a career as a doctor or something, or some lawyer. But no, you're going to
have to be big at house MD at 19.
Yeah. Pro energy into being a fighter. So she's done that. I mean, I've seen her training down to Dance Combat as well, and none of those guys go easy on her. You know, she really works hard there. I can't really think of anyone I would pick to beat her in Europe at the moment. But honestly, I just don't know anything about the girl she's fighting, so I don't want to sort of make some crazy prediction. I think, honestly, that I'm going to go for a safe one here and say Corey McKenna by decision, just because I don't know anything about the other girl. I think at the very least, she'll grind out her decision. But it's such a weird place she's in as well, because she's like one fight away from a Cage Warriors belt, two fights away from UFC. But at the same time, the fight that she's facing, you know, you don't know anything about.
It's
that there's no, the levels of it is kind of messed up. And that's what we asked when we spoke to her before, like, she could lose a fight and be fighting someone who's 1-0, or she could win a fight and be fighting someone in the UFC. Like, it's the jump is that big now at the moment.
Yeah.
I think she thrives on that, to be honest. She's got that mentality, but yeah, she's very excited, isn't she?
Can I ask you guys a question about Corey? Because obviously you all know her far better than I do. At 19, do you think that a UFC shot would be good for her? Or do you think that it would be worth her going through Cage Warriors and then maybe going over, say, to Invicta and fighting against American girls with a very different style before going into the UFC when she's a bit older?
That's a really good question. I asked her about that actually recently when I spoke to her after her last win, and she was talking about hopefully finding Colchester. And she said, up until not too long ago, she was super motivated by being the youngest to do this and get there super quick and all that sort of stuff. And she says, I've got loads of goals that I set myself. I want to do this by a certain age and this by a certain age. But she says that she knows she's got to chill out on that a little bit. And actually, when I spoke to Graham Boylan, I think at the last Cage Warriors in Colchester, he said that she will be a superstar, but she needs to maybe chill out a little bit and take her time. So I think that's a great shout, because as you say, Lewis, the girl she's fighting, with all grace and respect, you don't know a lot about them. You don't know what kind of level they are, apart from obviously the girl that she lost to,
yeah,
is pretty well known. So I don't think it would be a bad thing. I mean, if the title fight is next, who does she fight for the title in Cage Warriors? Do they do a rematch with McColl and try and get that win back?
I think she's got that championship, McColl, isn't she now?
You what, sorry?
I think she's got the one championship.
Oh, is she? So that's out then. So I don't know. It's a tough one. But I think that's a good shout. I think she probably would be well served to maybe not to make the jump to the UFC maybe as quickly as some people would assume that she will.
It's just a real struggle, I think, to get opponents for her. And
yeah.
Lewis, I don't know if you remember when we were talking to Richard Shaw, he was talking about maybe getting, they had some contacts in America to get over for Jack Shaw to fight if he carried on in Cage Warriors after he fought Scott. But I wonder if they could do that for Corey, or like you say, Chris, that never occurred to me before, but Invicta is obviously another great option.
What I would say as well is, she's, I think she obviously has Faber out in America and Richard Shaw over here now. She's going to be looking at Jack Shaw and the way he's played it as well. You know, he's not rushed anything. He's been very, very meticulous in taking his time. And that's paid off for him now. So she's going to see that. And maybe she's going to sort of say, well, it's not necessarily a case of rushing and jumping straight for it. But if the UFC comes calling, is she going to say no?
I mean, but do you want to be the next Paige Van Zandt? That's the question. Because it's far too early for Paige. Sage Northcutt as well. Far too early for both of them in their careers. And both of them are super talented fighters.
Yeah.
I would agree, but it's hard to say no to them, isn't it? If they make that offer, it's very
well, difficult to go to the US. And also, there's no point sticking around if the level of opponent isn't there. Yeah. So if you're just getting more and more fights that people know you're going to win, and that's no offence to her opponents, we haven't even seen the fight this weekend yet. But if they're not going to be opponents on their level, then is there much point?
Yeah.
That Invicta thing has got me thinking, Chris, because I think it's got to be a new, you've got to be constant. You don't want to suddenly make a huge jump in competition, but I feel like there has to be a gradual increase in the caliber of opponents.
But then, is she that good? Because the counter argument against that is when you look at John Jones, who won the UFC title at 21 years old, and he was that good that he could do that. Now, in your guys' opinion, is Corey that good that she could go in and not just compete with some girls in the UFC, but she could actually properly compete with the upper echelons in her weight class?
I'd like to see incremental increases in the quality of opponent to get to that level.
Yeah.
Personally.
Yeah. I think she could definitely beat some girls in the UFC now. And I think you have to look at the sort of people that she's training with and the time Cynthia they're spending
Carvalho,
with.
Yeah. Kevin
Mann. Yeah. And Uriah Faber's kind of taking her under his wing. He's not wasting his time with someone who doesn't think he's got something very special there. So, I do think you're right. I think she does need to be careful, maybe building and not rush too quickly. But equally, I as you say, there's a problem matching her. I do think she could get wins in the UFC now. So time will tell.
I'm going to go out on a limb. I think if she wins this next fight, maybe even another one with a belt, I think she goes, because you can go to Invicta, come against some tough opponents, take a couple of losses, and you're not the same fighter after that. So yeah. I think if she wins these next two couple of fights convincingly, I think she goes, and
they could build her slowly in the UFC. Yeah. And I honestly can't think of a fighter at that level with a better team around her. She's got Jack Mason, Richard Shaw, and Uriah Faber. Well, they're going to see her wrong.
I don't think they would build her slowly for two reasons. Number one, there isn't the most, it isn't the deepest of talent pools anyway. But number two, the UFC, being the private equity-owned company that it is, are always looking to build to create stars very quickly. They're not looking to have those stepping stones in the same way as they did under Fertitta's. But, you know, by saying that, I'm not saying that she can't do that, because, you know, she's literally going through everybody who comes up against her. So, you know, she could quite easily go in there. She could literally just be three or four fights away from the title. And, you know, 2 years' time, we could be sitting here talking about Corey McKenna being the being a potential world champion. So it's just, we're at this tipping point at the moment to see where she sits in comparison to the global market. Because in the continental market, she's sitting at the top of the pile, certainly, isn't she?
Yeah.
So moving on to the pro prelims. Unfortunately, Mark, you broke the news to us earlier today that Paul Harper's had to pull out.
Yeah, I was literally just doing some research for this and clicked onto the card to print it out. So I've got it in front of me and I noticed Adam Wilson was now fighting TVC, who's a pretty tasty opponent.
He's fighting twice in that night as well, actually.
He's fighting Mark Davis as well. Before that night, TBC, watch out for him. But so Paul Harper's out. I understand it was an injury. I don't know how it happened or when or what sort of injury it is, but obviously that's a massive blow for him because this was a huge opportunity on a big show for him just down the road. He's in Clacton in Essex. So essentially a home show for him in front of those, under those bright lights. But he's out. So that's a real shame. I understand they're still looking for an opponent for Adam Wilson. They feel like he still has a good chance of fighting. So I hope he does, and I hope we see Paul again further down the line. It's a great shame.
Yeah, and Paul was saying that he basically resigned himself to not fighting again, and it was just the appeal of the Cage Warriors yellow gloves that like called him back. And
he retired.
So I'm hoping that the injury's not too serious, Paul. We all wish you a very speedy recovery from whatever's happened, and fingers crossed that Adam gets another opponent because, he's a great guy as well. And he's, you know, you were talking about Corey being new breed. Like, he's a really, really exciting fighter. He's always in the gym. He's so ready to go as well. He's been really unlucky with opponent injuries. If you look at his record, it looks like he's had a lot of downtime in between fights, but that has actually been just struggles getting matched or opponents pulling out. So everything for him that he's got a fight on Friday.
Yeah.
But moving on to Craig Edwards. I love Craig. I absolutely love Craig. There's Steve Hooper. Chris?
I'm not the one celebrating. Come on, I'm going to Mark first.
Yeah. I was going to say, my phone keeps telling me the battery's almost run out. So if I disappear, I'm not being rude. It's because technology has failed me. So Craig Edwards, like, he is a hugely likable guy. He's hugely, hugely talented. He's not got the best record pro career wise. He's 2-3 now. Obviously, he was 1-3 before he won that big Battle of Anglia on the Academy show against Scott Butters. But for me, Craig's got everything you need. You only have to look at the guy to see how athletic he is. For me, it's all about confidence with Craig.
Yeah.
And people you talk to, and you'll know much better than I will, Katie, because you've trained with him. But people you talk to say that he is unbelievable in the gym, like unbelievable. But sometimes he struggles to put that into play on fight night. And I think we saw on Cage Warriors the last time he was fighting, I forget the guy's name, French guy, really good striker. That's him. Yeah. He's a really good fighter, really good striker. And Craig kind of just got caught in the headlights a little bit and kind of stopped moving and ended up losing. But I'm really hoping that this win against Scott on the Academy show is now going to be the catalyst to kind of supercharge him and fire him on a winning run. He did the same thing in the amateurs.
Yeah.
I think he won, I want to say 7 fights in a row in the amateurs before he turned pro.
Yeah.
Craig Edwards could be anything he wants to be, but he's got to convince himself of that more than anyone, if you know what I mean. So I'm pleased to see he's got another chance on Cage Warriors.
Me too.
Stephen Hooper, I don't know a lot about Stephen Hooper, but his record, 3-3, I think he is. So it seems to be about the right sort of level that Craig should be fighting on a show like this. So, yeah, I really hope he turns up on the night. I know him and Steve Amable have got a really nice kind of friendship. And I know Steve wants Craig to do well almost as much as he wants himself to do well. So, yeah, Fingers crossed that Craig, the killer Craig, turns up on Friday night. Because if he does, I'd say he's a handful for anyone in that division.
Yeah. I don't know a lot about Hooper either, but I've watched a couple of his fights on YouTube. And if the right Craig turns up, I just don't think Hooper's going to be a match for him. He's more of a, he looks to me more of a brawler. Like, Craig's got real style in his stand-up and in his jiu-jitsu, his wrestling. He's an all-rounder, and he's such a high level. And I do think... Sorry.
No, I was going to say, Craig's fought Mason Jones as well, hasn't he? We talked about Mason Jones earlier.
Yeah, and it was another one where Craig will say as well that it was like paralysis by analysis. He just stopped throwing. But I do think, and Scott Butters said to him after their fight at Cage Warriors, he turned to him and he said, "You're going to do exactly what you did on the amateurs. This is like the start for you."
Yeah.
And I just thought, I hope it is like so bad. And I think it will be. Just he's got so much to show off in there. He really does. And
yeah.
I'd love it. I feel like this could be real redemption for him, because I know he wasn't, well, it's an understatement to say he wasn't at all happy with the way his performance went on Cage Warriors 99. But I think he could do something really special on Friday. It's one of the fights I'm most looking forward to. Lewis?
Well, Kate, I'm not gonna pick against Craig, because I know how much you love him. I don't wanna upset you, I know how much you love him. But honestly, what I would say is, looking at Craig's record, you know, I saw him fight Mason Jones. Mason Jones really has the potential to go all the way in MMA. So losing him is no shame. You know, he's a great striker. Brown belt.
I just don't think he showed himself. That's all I would say.
And I'll see that Mehdi, I don't know how to pronounce his name, but
yeah,
another good striker. He's fought hard opponents when he's lost. So I don't think there's any knock on the skill level he's got. You know, sometimes the results just don't always go your way. What I would ask all you guys, and I don't know what your opinion is on this, but when you have guys like Craig, you say sometimes sort of struggles mentally to perform. What would you say is the sort of best thing to sort of get rid of that negative mindset? What would you say is the best thing for him in terms of improving his confidence?
I think you've just got to put yourself in that position again and again, haven't you? The more you do it, the easier it becomes. Obviously, you probably won't know, but the last fight you had against Scott Butters was a really big deal in this region. Two of the best guys at lightweight in East Anglia. And obviously, he'd lost to Scott before in the amateurs. So he had that hurdle to overcome, knowing that he was fighting a guy he'd already lost to. And he went out and he was just sensational that night. He was, you know, I spoke to Scott like Kate did afterwards, and he said, "Jesus, Craig is so strong. Like, as soon as he put his hands on me, I was like, oh, shit. I'm not going anywhere." And he won.
He won in like
2 minutes, arm triangle. Yeah. So I'm thinking that having overcome that hurdle of fighting someone he's already lost to and beating him in such a sensational way, in such a big fight, I mean, there was a lot of hype around that fight locally. And he faced, had he lost that, he would have been 1-4 as a pro. And where do you go from there?
So I
think this is good for him to be out again on Cage Warriors, a place where he's lost and he's really disappointed with himself, because he gets the chance to put that right off the back of the Scott Butters win. So I think with a guy like Craig, he's just got to fight as often as he can and put himself in that situation where he starts to build the confidence and you start to see that winning run go. So
Craig's one of those guys, he's very, very popular. You don't hear nothing but sort of really good comments about him part of the gyms.
Do you know what as well, Lewis? Straight after this fight on Cage Warriors 99, where he lost and he got beaten up and his heart was broken, the next fight was Steve Amables and he cornered him.
Yeah.
He came out and cornered him, and I just thought that said everything about him as a teammate, a friend, a person. He just, you know, his own heart was breaking, and he put, you know, Steve's needs ahead of his. And yeah, I just think he's top bloke and absolutely top fighter as well.
Yeah.
So, I've spoken to you a lot about him, Kate. I've spoken to Corey McKenna as well, and everyone says how good he is. So I think if he can get that side of it right, you know, like I know Mark said about kind of getting caught in the headlights, I've never been in there, so I can't really comment on that, because, like, you know, it must be so tough performing in any sport on that bigger stage is tough, but fighting kind of is even 100 times worse, I think, because you're getting that physical beating if you don't perform. So if he can get that side of his game down, from what I've heard, he's going to be a big one to watch out for in the future. And I'm predicting Craig. I think he is. I'm going to be positive. I think he is going to get it. And I'm going to go Craig by submission. I'm going to go for.
Good
Mark, what was your method of victory?
I fancy Craig by submission as well. I think he's super strong. I can see him pulling out another submission and then going on a bit of a tear.
Yeah, me too, Chris. I dare you.
I would quite like to see Craig Edwards go all three rounds and dominate. That's what I'd like to see. I think it'd be really good for him mentally. I think that to be able to go and impose his will on somebody and, you know, pick up like something like a 30-26 or something, an absolute smashing, that would just serve him so well and just give him that confidence to go on and progress from that point onwards. And no, I'm not going to pick against him at all. I only pick against if I've got a decent argument, and I haven't got a decent argument. The guy looks talented. He looks good. You know, that Battle of East Anglia, Scott Burtis is a tough guy and he's a strong guy as well. And if Edwards can manhandle him, manhandle a guy as big as Butters, then, yeah, there's no reason why he can't go on further in the sport. And I'd like to see him do it. You know,
Chris, what's going to
you?
What's going to you?
I took an elbow tonight.
I've got a glass of wine on the side.
I took an elbow to the head in Muay Thai tonight, and I've had a glass of wine. So.
Awesome. We'll move on now to the amateur prelims, and it's actually Paul Harper's teammate Will Timmis is taking on my teammate George, son of Dracula, Tanasa.
Great name.
So we were talking earlier about different styles and whether I think early on in people's amateur career they can be like heavily dominant in one area of martial arts, and obviously George has got a proper wrestling pedigree, and Will it seems is great at jiu-jitsu and is obviously a lot more advanced in certainly in gi than George is. So my only fear for George is that he could get caught by submission, but I'm predicting a win for the son of Dracula. He just gets better and better every time he fights, and he is honestly the biggest laugh to have in the gym. He's such a personality.
Why do they call him son of Dracula?
Oh, I think he just made it up himself, Lewis. He wears a cape.
He's Romanian, isn't he?
He's Romanian with that name.
Yeah.
he's just a nutcase, though. He's so much fun, and he's so competitive. I think doing that high level of wrestling from such a young age, he's just so driven. And you know that the area of his game, sorry, where he does have holes still, like jiu-jitsu, he just makes up for it in his ambition and his drive to win. And I do think Will is going to be his toughest test. The only thing I could see is if Will gets a submission, but I just think George is going to be too strong. He's finishing people on the feet now, as well as I just love seeing him with his suplexes as well. So impressive. What do you make of him, Chris?
If you've got a nickname that rhymes, I'm going to like you. Because my favourite nickname in MMA is Keith Jardine, the Dean of Mean, Keith Jardine. The son of Dracula, George Tanasa. That works for me. I think the bonus you're going to have, if you're a wrestler and you're fighting as an amateur, all you've got to do is be sensible for 2 minutes in a round. So you get a hold of somebody, you take them down, you control the top position. As long as you're relatively defensive on top, you can essentially step back and let the person up. You won the round. So it's going to take something special for Will Timmis to do something off of his back. And okay, maybe more experience in the gi, but that's not necessarily the same as fighting.
No.
When you're not able to do the same type of collar ties and stuff. So I'm going to go with your guy again, Katie. I'm going to go with the son of Dracula, George Sanasa. Well, because of his nickname, but now also because it, stylistically, I think that as an amateur, he should really, unless he makes a mistake, he should win it.
Okay, have you paid Chris tonight?
Huh?
Have you paid Chris tonight?
I'm just fed up with getting negative press for just having an opinion. Seriously, the number of people keep calling me out just for, you know, thinking against them. It's quite painful, really.
So are you going for stoppage or decision?
Decision. I'll say unanimous decision for George Sanna. Sorry, son of Dracula.
Lewis?
Just because I like his name, I'm going for son of Dracula as well.
Mark?
Yeah, I'm going to make it a full house. George was my prospect of the year in the awards that I do every year locally, Eastern Region Prospect of the Year. If you speak to Jack Mason about him, he says he's like a mini Yoel Romero. He's got this incredible wrestling background, powerful on the feet. I actually refereed Will Timmis in an interclub. He's very tidy, but I think George is just going to be a level above him. I hear what you say about potentially catching him on the floor, but I think George takes him down and beats him up. I think he probably stops him.
Yeah,
if that's a young Yoel Romero, then that's just sold him for me. Honestly, he's become my favorite young amateur. I love that guy.
Yeah,
he's just honestly, he's just such a joy to be around. My nickname for him is Hollywood because he said he was he posted on Facebook saying, should he send a video off to Hollywood for an audition? He's just amazing. And last weekend when I did the BKK special for this, he was actually working, but I said he was polishing his medals. He posted a video underneath of him polishing all his trophies. he's one of the best guys to be around, and I just think he's got such an epic career in front of himself. Like, even the areas that he's quite raw at the moment, I just think he makes up for with that winning mentality. He's such a bad loser. Even in the gym, if anyone catches him with anything, he's like, you know, I just think somebody that determined to win is halfway there already.
Yeah.
I think he's something pretty special, to be honest. And the final fight that I was going to touch upon tonight is loads of amazing fights on the card, so there's no offense to anyone that we haven't covered. I also want to do a shout out to Joseph Parker and Ethan Barry, who are the other BKK fighters on the card, but only got time for one more. We were going to touch upon Tommy Gibbs and Che Veal. Chris, I know you know Tommy Gibbs better than the rest of us, so do you want to start by chatting about him?
Tom's a really tough kid. Tom's biggest weakness is himself. He doesn't believe in himself anywhere near as much as he should do. You see him in training, he lets his hands go, and he's actually got really good striking. His wrestling's good as well. On the ground, he's okay. I wouldn't say that he's a world beater, but he's certainly competent on the ground. The problem is when he fights, he doesn't really let himself go. You don't see punches and bunches. You see just the 1-2 jab cross, and then he'll step back, and he seems to overthink things a little bit. If he can get himself around that, and if he could fight, not necessarily the way that he fights in the gym, but just with confidence, just have a bit more confidence in himself, then he could. His record certainly doesn't reflect his ability. He could go a lot further. This is a big deal for him. It's a huge deal for his gym as well. I know his head coach really well, James Pullen, from an Elite Training Centre in Leighton Buzzard. Now, James, when he started off the gym 10 years ago, he had the Creases, Sam and Tom Creasy. Sam, you know, has moved on now, and Tom's joined him. I think Tom's probably the next one from his bunch. He's also got Lee Anthony on the card as well. And James has got a lot of faith in Tom. He sees the ability in Tom, but he just needs to instill that confidence in him and just get Tom to let go and really just have a go at somebody. Now, Tom doesn't mind getting hurt. He's one of those guys like Sean Carter who will take a punch to give a punch. Not got a problem with that whatsoever. He's one of the few guys that when he gets hit and smiles, he smiles simply because he's irritated at himself from being hit, not because he's trying to hide the fact that he's hurt. He just doesn't give a monkey's about getting hit. It's just he just gets really wound up with himself. But you know, as a person, Tom's a really good guy. I love that kid. He's a little dwarf, and I love picking on him for it as well. So I'm going to finish off by saying that I hope that Tom, I hope that Che is like a deer in the headlights. Tom makes mincemeat of him and he pounds him into submission. Three meat references for you.
Mark, would you say, I don't think Che's record is a fair reflection of what he's like as a fighter either. What do you think?
He's had some tough fights. He's had to take fights at bantamweight as well just to get fights. I mean,
yeah.
I actually called, he fought for the bantamweight title on a local show, and he fought a guy called Duncan Djali, who's absolutely massive, and Shay's not the tallest.
No.
And he took that all the way to a decision. I love watching Shay fight, because there's some fighters you just feel like a connection to, because it's like a visceral thing. They fight with a whole heart, if you know what I mean. Molly McCann is the same. You feel that connection to her. You see how much it means to her. And Shay's one of those guys who you can see how hard he tries in there. He's a real grinder. And he's talented as well. You know, he works some real good guys. Lee Dosky, real high-level BJJ guy over here. Trains at Elite Gym in Norwich. And he's starting to put a little bit of a reputation together. He had a huge win on Cage Warriors on the amateur card in Colchester last time. He won by armbar.
And what about that submission at Cage Warriors Academy where when the ref made him let go at the end of the round, his opponent was actually a submission?
Yeah, that was a good win for him again, because it was one of the Palachek twins, wasn't it, he fought?
Yeah.
And they're no joke. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think because he's had to take fights up at bantamweight just to get fights, his record maybe doesn't reflect how good a fighter he is. But he's getting better. As I say, he's another one of these guys. He's a grinder. He wins fights you think maybe he won't. So, yeah, I'm excited. I mean, I like the sound of Tommy Gibbs. I think he's won two titles, hasn't he, in the battle arena, Tommy Gibbs? He's fought a bantamweight as well.
Yeah, he won a regional and he won a national.
Yeah.
But okay. I think he lost the world.
But you say he's quite small?
He is, yeah. He's pint-sized. He's a small fella.
Yeah, because the guys that Shay's, the people that Shay's had trouble with have been tall, rangy guys up at bantamweight where he literally just can't get close to them. He has a huge reach disadvantage. So I think if he's fighting a guy who's of similar proportions, it's going to be a good fight. Yeah, watch out for Shay Beal.
Stop your decision. I'm going for another sub.
Yeah. I don't know a lot about Tommy, and it sounds like he's a good fighter. So I might say Shay by decision, just because I don't want to disrespect Tommy. So yeah, let's say Shay by decision.
And Chris, how are you? Well, you what? When Chris said he wants to make mince meat of Shay.
That was good. Yeah. You wrote that down, though. You had that written down.
I did. Whilst we were sat here and you guys were talking, I thought, oh, that's just popped into my head. I'll use that one.
How many synonyms can I come up with? Lewis, who's your pick for this one?
Do you know what, guys? I can't pick. I don't know either of the guys.
Join Team Tommy. Come on.
I'm not going to pick on this one, guys. I don't want to offend anyone I don't know, so I'm gonna.
Oh, that's just a coward's way out. That's a sign of someone who's got a hangover.
Well, guys, thank you so much for your time tonight. Hope I haven't run over too much. I think I'm even more excited for the card than I was earlier on today.
Before we go,
yeah,
can I ask, has Michael Yunus got an opponent on the card yet?
Is he another one fighting TBC?
Yeah.
No, he's fighting Dawid Mazur.
Oh, okay.
190-pound catchweight.
Okay. Yunus fought all the way from heavyweight down to middle. He is absolutely massive. The guy is a unit.
Yeah,
honestly.
He's
ginormous. And it's going to be like a Hulk smash. So, good luck to Yunus. He's a hell of a fighter.
Eunice is a scary dude. He is a scary guy.
But he's lovely. You talk to him, he is so nice. But he can be nice because he is so massive.
Yeah.
The confidence of someone who knows they can crush you with one finger.
Yeah, pretty much. So, but I want to say good luck to Michael Yunus. He's a really good guy. Genuinely a really, really nice person. And one of the good people in MMA. I hope he goes and gets a win. And I also want to say good luck to Lee Anthony as well. Tom Gibbs' teammate on the card. He's a great guy. He got a win in his last fight, which he desperately needed. And getting this opportunity to fight on a show like Cage Warriors is just massive for him. And I know he'll have his little boy watching him as well. So, yeah, fingers crossed for Lee.
Any more shout-outs?
That's it for me.
I just want to say, guys, to Mark and Katie, how jealous I am of you guys this weekend. I think it's going to be a really good show. I was actually, as you know, I was in Amsterdam this weekend on a stag do. One of my mates actually lives up that way. A pile of them's going down to watch, and they're all buzzing for it. And it was really making me want to come down. So I just want to say to you two guys, I'm very jealous, and I hope you enjoy the show.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm really looking forward to it. Mark, I'll see you on Friday. Oh, and it's really awesome because it means we can watch UFC Sweden live on Saturday.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's perfect timing that it was on Friday. Mark, where can people catch you on social media?
I'm on Twitter, Mark Heath, Instagram as well, and I've got a page on Facebook, Mark Heath MMA Fight Sports Journalist, so I'll be posting everything I get on there on Saturday, and obviously all my reports go on the East Anglian Daily Times website, so several places, getting as much as we can behind the scenes, fighting you for interviews after the fights, but it should be good. I'm really looking forward to it, and I think you've got to say, in terms of shout-outs as well, the matchmaking on Cage Warriors is tremendous. You look at this card, and other than maybe the Corey McKenna fight, and we don't know a lot about our opponent, but there's some really good, potentially 50-50 fights in this card. So, fair play, Ian Dean. Good work.
Yeah, well, we've all said how hard it is to pick on this card. Yeah, so the thing I love most about MMA. Chris, where can people find you on social media?
So, for me, on Twitter, it's Chris_BRAM. On Instagram, it's @BattleReady. And then on Facebook, there's @BattleReadyFightManagement. But I also want to say, I always give praise to Katie and Lewis for the work that they did, because you guys are just super talented and two of the best guys on MMA UK. Mark, I love your work. I've not spoken to you before, but I've read a lot of your work over the years, and it's really, really impressive. So keep it up. It's great to see. Now, it's great to see some regional MMA coverage at a high level as well. You put a lot of work into it, and you represent East Anglia really well. So keep it up.
I second that. Lewis, where can people find you on social media?
Twitter, Lewis_MMAUK. Facebook, I got two Facebooks now. So it's Lewis MMA UK and Lewis Wales Online. Give any of those a follow. You can catch up with my stuff. If you want to watch MMA, probably best for MMA UK one. But if you're Welsh, Lewis Wales Online, either of those will do.
Are you coming to the Night of Champions, Lewis?
Yes, hopefully. But big, big Ross Houston fan, and also I was at Dalby's last fight, so very interested to see that fight. And I also want to see Matt Bunnell and Dean Truman, because I think that's going to be a cracker. So
Steve Amable's fighting next.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you so much, guys. It's been brilliant. I've really enjoyed it anyway. Blow my own trumpet. It's been brilliant. Mark, I'll see you Friday. Thank you, everyone. And good luck, everyone, on Cage Warriors 105. Thanks, all.